This is part one of a previously recorded two-part Live and Local interview. It's time for another chapter of Live and Local from the studios at 33rd and Burt. I'm your local host, Mike Hogan. Thank you for joining me today. Did you know that the state of Nebraska has nearly 1.5 million acres of forest land and then another 1.3 million acres with trees outside of traditional forests? That's a lot of trees. And somebody's got to make sure that we're taking care of that in proper fashion. The Nebraska Forest Service has such a job. Their Conservation Forester Public Information Officer is Benjamin Bohol, and he's my guest today on Live and Local. Benjamin, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
The Nebraska Forest Service, this is a huge task. You touch on so many things. Can you give us a brief overview of the different things the Nebraska Forest Service does and the different resources that can be found at nfs.unl.edu?
Sure. We have an hour, right? That'll work. No, I kid, but it's funny because I came into this position not really knowing. I mean, I had obviously an idea of what the Nebraska Forest Service did, but now that I've been here for, for close to a decade, it still kind of boggles my mind just how much our folks do here with this agency. Everything from, community forestry to wildfire prevention, forest health, rural forestry, just kind of a whole slew of different areas we cover across all of Nebraska. And, a lot of that has to do with replanting efforts. I'm sure you're familiar with the emerald ash borer, which affected Omaha a few years ago, is still affecting Omaha with, I'm sure folks are seeing, ash trees that are still being cut down. Unfortunately, we've had to focus our efforts with replanting there and encouraging folks to practice planting diversity so we don't find ourselves in the same situation again where we have one tree species all over the place, and then, we have something like an invasive species come in and we have to cut those trees down. And then wildfire prevention is another very timely topic right now. As we see, the state has had over a million acres burn in this year alone. In fact, more than any other state in the United States. So we have plenty of staff that have been trying to address that issue all the way from training volunteer firefighters, who are the bulk of the firefighting force dealing with these wildfires, to things like actually, being on the scene and providing assistance to different departments, and our single engine air tanker based program, where we have these small little aerial applicators that will fly over these fires and drop retardant or do water drops. So we stay busy, Mike. We certainly do.
I do want to take a focus on wildfires because, as you said, it's just been devastating out in the western portion of the state. You have to tend to a forest. You can't leave all that tinder lying around, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Something our agency does is we take part in large-scale forest fuels reduction projects, and that's where, our program and then contractors that we hire will come in and clear out things like dead limbs, dead vegetation, because that stuff becomes essentially ripe fuels for fires in those forested areas. It's funny because we were talking this morning about Smokey Bear, who I'm sure you're familiar with and a lot of your listeners are familiar with. You might have noticed, that slogan used to be, "Only you can prevent forest fires," and now it's changed to "Only you can prevent wildfires," because we're seeing not only, forested regions be affected by these fires, but the whole state, even eastern Nebraska. This used to primarily be a western Nebraska problem, and now it's, unfortunately, it's everywhere in Nebraska. So, part of that is that prevention effort, the forest fuels management projects going through clearing out those dead limbs, those potential fuels, doing things like encouraging folks to create defensible space around their homes, right? That's this idea that we practice strategic planting, where we're not necessarily planting trees right up next to our homes. And, we're going around and we're also picking up dead limbs, things like that, because we want to discourage a situation where if there's a fire encroaching onto somebody's property, we don't want that fire to get too close to the home. And the nice thing is that if we have our grass cut and we don't have too much vegetation or dead vegetation close to the house, you know, that buys us some time. It buys firefighters time to stop that encroachment from wildfires. And so, yeah, a lot of prevention efforts on our end as we try to get in front of this, because obviously this is the new normal for Nebraska.
At nfs.unl.edu, there's a ton of resources. And one of the things that I noticed is you have a fire risk map of the state of Nebraska. Right now, I noticed that Shadron and Scotts Bluff are at twos and threes. The rest of the state is at zeros right now. What does that mean? What does the scale go up to?
Yeah, so for us, a part of that effort is to help folks understand, you know, what a red flag warning is.
Join me tomorrow for the conclusion of this live and local interview at 7:44 a.m. and 3:44 p.m. on 91.5 FM. This is the conclusion of a two-part live and local interview. I'm your local host, Mike Hogan. Thank you for joining me today. Previously on Live and Local, I was discussing with Benjamin Bohall, the public information officer for the Nebraska Forest Service, the myriad of responsibilities that fall under the Forest Service's responsibilities. And then I asked Benjamin, at nfs.unl.edu, you have a fire risk map of the state of Nebraska. Right now, I noticed that Shadron and Scotts Bluff are at twos and threes. The rest of the state is at zeros right now. What does that mean? What does the scale go up to?
For us, a part of that effort is to help folks understand what a red flag warning is. When you hit below 20% relative humidity and you have above, I believe, 30 mile per hour gust winds, these things that are a recipe for wildfires, right? The National Weather Service will designate an area as being in a red flag warning. And when you look at those maps, what you'll see is, you know, areas are yellow or green or red. That's basically to designate how bad is the fire danger in my area. And as you mentioned out west, probably even the past few months, it's been perpetually very dry. Here in the east, we're seeing more of a green up over the past few weeks. Now, the problem is, as you know, the weather in Nebraska is subject to change so quickly. And for added context here, over the past several years, what we've seen is we're not getting enough snowpack, and then we hit early spring, and we have these 70-degree days with 40 to 50 mile per hour winds, and a fire starts, and then it spreads like, well, wildfire, right? And so the idea with these maps is if you're in a situation where you're thinking about burning, it's good to go look at those maps and be like, oh, you know, my area is, it looks kind of red right now, or, you know, orange or yellow, and maybe now isn't the best time to burn. Because what we see here at the Nebraska Forest Service is that 90% of these wildfires are human caused. So part of our job is to inform folks of what the human role is in all this. It can be things like parking hot machinery on tall vegetation. That's a big culprit for wildfires in our state. Underinflated tires on the highway. We see that in the east quite a bit, where an underinflated tire can cause a spark, and that will light up the vegetation off a highway and start a wildfire. So we have, unfortunately, all these different dynamics. Another one in the east would be dragging tow chains. So you're heading out to the lake, as a lot of folks are doing right now, and you're pulling that boat along, and you don't even realize those tow chains are dragging. Well, that can create a spark. That starts a wildfire. It's that easy. We have a saying here is it only takes one spark. And it's unfortunately absolutely true. About 2 years ago in the early spring out in North Platte, we had a fire pop up called the Betty's Way Fire. And somebody was out mowing, and their mower struck a rock and created a spark. And that started a wildfire that spread 70,000 acres in the period of 5 hours.
Oh,
and so, man. I mean, that just tells you from such humble beginnings, you know, that something so large can happen. And that's why for us, it's so important to inform folks of what their role can be in this.
And I'm just going to toss in there to kind of round it out. If you do smoke, well, put that cigarette out in your car. Don't throw it out the window.
Yeah,
while it's still burning,
absolutely,
for crying out loud. And if you go camp and you set up a campfire, read about how to set up a proper campfire. You dig a little pit. You have rocks around it. You control those embers and control that flame, and make sure you're not starting a campfire underneath the foliage of a tree, for crying out loud, right? I mean,
precisely.
There's these types of things as well. It's amazing how precarious and precious it is, the line between a safe fire and 70,000 acres gone.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's kind of a difficult line to toe. You know, when we talk about things like prescribed burning, right, where we want folks to be able to utilize those kinds of tools because there are huge ecological and wildfire prevention benefits to doing things like prescribed burning or debris burning for that matter. There is a safe way to do it. And that's something that we're trying to encourage folks to do. And I'm glad you brought up the discarding of cigarette butts improperly and making sure a fire is out, because that's usually what the issue is. When we talk about this 90% figure of wildfires are human caused, a lot of that is unintentional. When we have these days with these high winds and unseasonably warm temperatures, these fires, which will appear to be out, will reignite as a result of holdover heat, because the coals in those fires can be so hot, it's not difficult at all for the wind to hit something like that and reignite it. And that's something we consistently see here in our state. So, you know, we ask folks to go out, and if you've been burning, even if you've been having a campfire, like you said, maybe just a backyard fire, go out in the next days afterwards and just check and make sure that's really out. Douse it, stir it. It's just all about being safe and being cognizant of what our role is.
Well, if you're not going to listen to Smokey the Bear, for crying out loud, listen to Benjamin, the public information officer at the Nebraska Forest Service. Benjamin, thank you so much for the myriad of information. Remember, everybody, you can go to nfs.unl.edu, and there is just more information there than one can possibly process in one sitting. Benjamin, really appreciate everything that you and the Forest Service are doing to preserve this treasure in our state.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Great chatting with you.